Charles Hopkins, Jr. Speaker this morning, Brother Gilbert Baldwin. The sermon title, Spiritual Blessing. The scripture reader, scripture will come this morning from the book of Ephesians, first chapter, verses 3 through 7. I'll be doing the scripture reading. Presiding at the Lord's table this morning, Brother Wiley Edwards and Jerry White. And our closing prayer at the appropriate time will be given by Brother Greg Shriver. Our first song this morning is 971. Before we start with that, if you would bow with me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning, for the ability to praise and worship you. We pray that everything that we do this morning will be in accordance with your will and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
971.
Trials are on every hand, and we cannot understand all the way that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. Sing in my mind, and by Lord, when the morning comes, and you know all the things of God. Gathering home, and we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. All the tears that have failed, this voice must have prevailed. As we wander in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone, but we're trusting in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by. Sing in my mind and by, Lord, with the morning comes, and you know all the things of God. Every moment we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptation, sin, often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to plead for some godless word or deed. And we wonder by ourselves when we try to do our best. We will understand it better by and by. Sing in my mind and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when you know all the things of God. And we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Singing by and by, and by, Lord, when the morning comes, and you know all the saints of God. Every moment we will tell the story
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn your hymnbook to page 635. 635. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Tempted and tried, all made to wonder why it should be thus all day long. While there are others living about us, never
Shall we pray? Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day to come together on this first day of the week, to come together, worship service unto you, another day to come together, fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for all that you do for us, Heavenly Father. So thankful for all thy blessings, so numerous that we can never count them all, Heavenly Father. And we're just thankful for this avenue of prayer, giving us a means that we can come to you, Heavenly Father, when we have problems, Heavenly Father. We know the power of prayer, Heavenly Father. We see what that what prayer can do. We just know so many things in this life, Heavenly Father, that we can't handle on our own. So many things that we encounter. And to know that we are never alone, that we can come to you with anything that we have, we know that, and if it be thy will, Heavenly Father, you will see a way out for any problem that we face, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that we just continue to always be thankful. You know, there are times that, you know, we can get out there and forget to come to you and to give you your praise, Heavenly Father, and we just know that we owe everything to you, Heavenly Father. So we just know that we have a means to always be reminded of thy very power, thy love that you have for each and every one of us. We also just pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with all those that was mentioned sick. We have a large list. We know the importance of health, Heavenly Father. We know that it can be at times overwhelming for those that are caring for these individuals. And we just know, Heavenly Father, that through prayer, that if they will be returned to their much-wanted health, if it be thy will, Heavenly Father. And we just continue that one day that all these people, all these members that are out at this time, that one day they'll be able to return to us here at worship service. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to be with this world. There's so many problems that we still face, so much conflict. We see so much, so many wars that are taking place, you know, lives that are being lost. You just feel bad for these families. And we just know that if people would be able to follow thy example, and the example that thy son Jesus has set forth us, this world would be a better place for each and every one of us to live in. Also, just to be with this nation. You know, we have so many problems within our country. Same issues, Heavenly Father, just not being able to get along, not being able to turn to you for the answers, Heavenly Father. There's so many times that we respond to things. People respond to things the way the world wants you to respond to them, which is never a good result is going to come from that. That we should always follow thy example. And we know that this world and the way that we're able to interact with people be more kind to one another. It'd be so many, some of the violence that we see wouldn't even happen, Heavenly Father, if people would turn to you more often. Also you be with the one that grieving at this time, Heavenly Father, be with the family and the loss that they suffered. And we pray that you will be with our brother Gilbert Baldwin as he preparing to bring us the lesson of the morning. We appreciate the effort that he puts in and preparing these lessons for us, and we just pray that with that which he shared with us, that we will give him our undivided attention, and we'll be able to take what we learned today, apply it to our daily lives. Also pray that you continue to be with the leaders here as they continue to tend to the needs of this congregation, tend to the needs of this building, as they continue to make sure our worship service is in accordance to thy will, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that you will be with us, Heavenly Father, through the remainder of this day. You continue to watch over us through this week. Continue to help us to avoid any pitfalls, temptations that we may face. That you continue to forgive us of our sins. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymn books to page 300. 300. See verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
When I survey the contrast cross on this oppressed of glory drag,
as we gather around the table this morning, it is no small thing to be gathered around at this time. For the love that it took to be able to partake of this bread and partake of this fruit of the vine was no small act by our God Himself. God Himself gave His one and only Son. He came to this earth. He saw His Son brutally beaten and scorned and hung on the cross. And it was because of our sin that happened. Because His Son and our God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son. See, this is not something that we can take lightly, because it was our sin that put Him there. But it was because of His love that we have been redeemed. Now, Jesus has given us an example of how to remember Him each and every first day of the week. When He was in the upper room, He said to partake of My flesh, for this is My body. He also said, partake of this wine, for this is My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me. And so now, each and every first day of the week, we remember our Lord and Savior,
Jesus Christ in this way and giving honor in His name for giving us a chance to be able to have a chance to be with our Lord in heaven one day. Let's bow in prayer and thank Him for the wonderful sacrifice that our Lord and Savior gave for us as you bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for being able to gather around this morning to be able to partake of this bread. Father, as we take this into our body, we ask that we remember all the thoughts and all the remembrances of that day that your Son came to this earth and all the love that He showed on our behalf that we might have a chance at eternal life. Father, we thank you for all the wonderful, wonderful blessings that you give us each and every day of the week. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Lord, we're so humble and so grateful this morning that we have this honor and privilege to remember Christ Jesus, to remember what He did for each and every one of us, to remember what He did for all of mankind. He loved us so much that He willingly went to the cross and shed it, His precious blood, His soul-cleansing blood that cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We're so grateful, so thankful for the honor and the privilege we have to partake of this cup in His memory. For it is in His name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Has everyone had a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper? If you have been inadvertently overlooked, please signal by raising your hand at this time if we can help you at this time. I see no hands, so we will continue. We also have the commandment to give back as we have been prospered. But we also have the commandment to be able to give from our hearts as well. And in doing so, we help grow the kingdom of the Lord. This provides for the needs of the church. It also provides help for the evangelism that we have to be able to see to it that our neighbors also hear the word that they so fervently need. As we get back this morning, please look into your hearts and think about what the love that our God has shown to you and how we can give back to Him as we bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for the many blessings that we have in life. You've blessed us so abundantly, Lord. Indeed, our cup overflows. Father, as we give back to You, we ask that it's not only with a cheerful heart, but it's with a thankful and forgiving heart as well. Father, we ask that as we do so, we think about those in our congregation who have the needs of the congregation and how we can help them. Father, we ask that we can grow the kingdom and evangelize this area so that our Lord and Savior will be well pleased. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our song that we've heard this morning will be coming out of our Black Supplemental Books, number 4. Mark number 4 in the Black Supplemental Book. That will be our song of prayer. After marking that, for the slight mixture, I'm going to put the wrong number on there. It's going to be 806. 806.
There was my dear Redeemer,
Morning's sermon is entitled Spiritual Blessing. The scripture reading for that will come from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Now, Brother Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody, and it's always good to be in the Lord's house. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us, giving us health and strength to be able to be here today for this service. Praise the mighty name of Jesus, for he is worthy to be praised. For God is an awesome God. And whenever God's people get together, somebody ought to give him praise. I remember the time when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The people began to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But there were some Pharisees nearby, and they said to Jesus, tell your disciples to be quiet. Tell your disciples to hold their peace. Jesus responded, if these do not praise me, I'll make the rocks cry out. Jesus was going to get his praise one way or the other. This morning we say to all of our guests, to all of our visitors, welcome. Always happy to receive visitors here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ, and we hope your visit is going to be uplifting and rewarding for you. We hope you decide that you're going to come back and be with us again. We want you to leave here feeling good today. All right. Our scripture text for today is coming from Ephesians chapter 1. Read into your hearing were verses 3 through 7. I'm going to read verse 3 as we begin our lesson today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Subject for today, spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Christians have a unique joy that the world cannot fully comprehend. As a matter of fact, some of us who are already Christians have not yet fully realized how much joy as a Christian we can have. So today in this chapter, I want to show you that Paul identifies that every Christian is spiritually blessed. There's no such thing as a Christian who is not blessed. It is absolutely impossible to be an unblessed Christian. Now, you may not feel blessed all the time, and even right now, some still may not realize how blessed we are. But it is impossible for a Christian to be in Christ and not be blessed. We are blessed to the degree that should give God praise. We are blessed in such a way that has nothing to do with our material possessions. As a matter of fact, we are blessed regardless of how much we do or do not have. God has fixed it that regardless of our outward circumstances, regardless of my material possessions, regardless of how much we do or do not have, we are still blessed. You all with me so far? All right. Some people judge how blessed they are based on what they have. I'll tell you what that does. When I begin to believe that you are more blessed than me because of the house that you have or the car that you may drive, I begin to think that somehow, some way, God has treated me less than the way he's treated you. We begin to make people jealous and people become envious of that because they think that if that person has something that I don't have, that means that person is more blessed than me. And we become envious, we become jealous, and we have a low view of ourselves. Because we base blessings on things. So you have to begin to understand, as a Christian, I'm blessed, and it has nothing to do with what I'm wearing, nothing to do with the car I drive, nothing to do with the house that I live in. God has so fixed it that we are blessed with a thing called spiritual. Look at your Bibles, if you will. You know, we are in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. That's where he mentions to the praise of his glory. You all see that in verse 6. Now, verse 12. Look at verse 12. He's going to mention to the praise of his glory again. Okay? Now look at verse 14. In verse 14, he's going to mention to the praise of his glory. You all see that? Three times in this chapter, Paul mentions to the praise of God. See, everything that I'm about to tell you now are the reasons why we ought to give God praise. If you don't know why you should praise him, I'm going to help you with that today. Now, we ought to praise him because he woke us up this morning. That's enough to give praise right there. We ought to praise him because we can inhale and exhale, and that's another good reason to give him praise. I ought to praise him because I can put one foot in front of the other. That's a good reason to give him praise. And we should all praise him, like I said, because he woke us up this morning. And if you think that alarm clock is what got you up, just take that alarm clock out to the cemetery and see how many people get up. It wasn't that clock. It's because God touched us with his finger of love and woke us up. It's God who allows us to wake up. It's God. He's the reason why we have shelter over our heads. He's the reason why we slept safe last night. He's the reason why we have clothing on our backs. He is the reason we can inhale and exhale and put one foot in front of the other. The Bible says, in Him we live and we move and we have our very being. So He is the reason why we are. There are so many reasons to give Him praise. But if that's not enough, I want to help you out today. Watch this. He says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, Paul is writing this letter to a Gentile church. The Jews did not believe, or they had difficulty accepting, that a Gentile could be in the family of God and share in the same benefits. So, Paul writes this letter to help the Gentiles understand you are equally as blessed as the Jewish Christians. Now, I know that's right because verse 3 through verse 12, Paul is going to use the pronouns we and us. But when he gets to verse 13, he says, and you also. Don't miss that. He says, He blessed us. He blessed us in whom we have redemption. Now, at this juncture, Paul is speaking from a Jewish perspective, as a Jewish Christian. He blessed us in whom we, he says, we got all of this stuff. But then in verse 13, he says, and you also. In other words, you Gentiles have just as many benefits in Christ as we do. Although we are blessed, and we have redemption, and we have been adopted, and you also. I'm so glad God is a you also God. I'm glad God didn't leave me out of the equation. Because had God left me out of the equation, I would have been unblessed. God, if He had left me out of that, I'd still be an alien. But He said, we have it. Then Paul said, but you have it also when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he wants the Gentiles to see you are just as blessed. But what does that mean? Everything that I'm about to tell you from verse 3 through verse 12 applies also to the Gentiles. It applies also to us. Verse 3. Y'all still with me, right? I want to help you understand this letter today. He says, blessed be the God who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So he uses three different words for bless. The first word, bless, is an adjective. It describes God. Bless be God. Now, the second word, bless, is a verb. It shows what God did for his people. The third word, blessing, is what God bestows. So, bless be God who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now let's deal with that first word, bless. That first word, bless, is a Greek word, eulogetos. And that's the Greek word from which we get our English word, eulogy. Now what does the word eulogy mean? The word eulogy means to speak well. It's a word that means to give one accolades. It's a word that means to give praise and honor with my mouth. Whenever a minister does a eulogy, The idea is that he would say something kind about the one who is deceased. Paul takes that word and says, we are to eulogetos God. We are to speak well of the God who did well. All right. The second word, bless, means to do well. And because God did well, we ought to speak well. So he says, blessed be God. Now, that word is used 8 times in the New Testament. And it only refers and describes God. When we bless God, we speak well. Because I can't do anything for a God who has everything. All I can do when I bless God, I can only speak. Why are you speaking well? Because God did well. When we understand how blessed we are, it's hard not to say something. When we fully understand and we realize what God has done for us, nobody ought to be able to tell you to hold your peace. It's hard. It's hard not to talk about God. When we fully realize what God has done in our lives, when we realize what he's done in our lives, it makes you want to say something. There ought to be no such thing as a quiet Christian. Every day of our lives, we ought to be speaking well about the God who does well. Paul says, blessed be God. Praise him. Speak well of him. Now that word, eulogetos, I'm not speaking over a dead man. I'm speaking about a living God. Scripture says, he did well. He did well. Well, what did he do? He bestowed spiritual. When we talk about spiritual, we're talking about that inner man, the inner man. That means those things that Paul said about the spiritual blessings, they have nothing to do with your car, with your house, with your money. That's not what it is. So many people say, you know, I am just so blessed. Just look at how I'm living. Well, you know, that is no indication. A sinful man can have a nice house. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of sinful people with some very nice houses and some very nice cars. So that's no indication that they are blessed. And God lets it rain on the just and the unjust. Now, there are some things that you will benefit from just because God allows certain things to take place. But that doesn't mean that you are spiritually blessed. You see, what makes a child of God special is, I'm blessed without all of that stuff. We are. Let me say this. Because somebody might take this a little too far. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with money. Getting quiet in here. There's nothing wrong with having money. If you've got a nice home, wonderful. If you've got a nice car, wonderful. If you've got money in your accounts that can cover generations, great. The reason I have to say this is because, at least in understanding, many Christians, because we preach so hard against prosperity gospel, we go to the complete opposite way and think that we're supposed to be broke. That's not what the Bible is teaching here. I don't subscribe to what those prosperity men are saying because they are saying that you are blessed because you have. I don't teach that. I believe I'm blessed whether I have it or not, but I certainly don't want anybody walking out of here today saying, I'm so glad I'm poor. It's not what we're saying. So, if you've got a way to make some honest money, go on and get it. Go ahead on and get it, but just make sure it's legal. And make sure you remember to give as you have been prospered. What I'm saying is, we don't have to walk around distressed and down, feeling bad because we're in a bad economy. My joy is not taken from me just because of what's going on in the United States of America and around the world. I may lose my house. I may lose my car. But thank God I'm in the house of God. And therefore I have joy because I am spiritually blessed. See, the devil knows that a lot of our joy is attached to things. Sometimes the devil will attack your things because he knows that will steal your joy. But at some point, you're going to have to say, you know, they can take my house. They can take my car. But one thing they cannot take from me is my relationship with God. I am still blessed, right? Even though I may not have things, I still got Jesus. Amen. I'm spiritually blessed. Paul says everything in this chapter is what we ought to do, what we ought to be praising God for. Why should I praise God? Well, according to verse number 4, listen to this. According as he has chosen us. God's people were chosen before the foundation of the world. He chose them to be blessed. Now, this is not saying that God chose individuals. God's predetermined plan was to have a chosen people in Christ Jesus. Now, everybody has the privilege of being a part of these chosen people. God has called all men to repentance, but all men are not going to say yes. Because I am a Christian, I am a member of the chosen. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verses number 9? He said, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Now that word peculiar means God's possession. Now I know peculiar in English means different, but in the Greek it means God's possession. That in itself is reason to give him praise. Now look at verse number 5. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption. All right, let's deal with that one. The second blessing is adoption. Remember, the first one was chosen. Second one, adoption. The word predestination. Don't be afraid of that word. That word just means God predetermined certain things for his people. And in this text, it tells us just what he predetermined. What did he predetermine? For us to be adopted? That's very clear. So many people read this, and they go on down and get into that Calvinistic doctrine about God chose some for heaven, God chose some for hell. But the text tells us exactly what God predetermined. He predetermined for his people to have adoption. He's using a metaphor to explain the benefits of being in his family. So he uses something that people can understand. So Paul wants to describe my relationship with God by talking about it in terms of adoption. You know, in the Roman culture, as well as in the Jewish culture, when a person was adopted, that means they were given the status of sonship. They were brought into a family which they were not born. You also get the family name. You also get the family inheritance. You know, it takes a lot to adopt someone. Now, I know I've got the family name because the Bible says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. When God gives us the status of sonship, He doesn't give it to us on the basis, on the merit of how good we are, because we're never that good. He gives it to us because He loves us. So we got to know why we praise Him. Too many people are praising Him for their cars and for their houses and for their money. And when that stuff is gone, they stop praising Him. Got to get to the point. Well, we praise God whether we have that stuff or not. Reasons to praise God. We are chosen. We are adopted. Verse 6 says, we have been made accepted in the Beloved. Now, that word accepted, that's a Greek term. Had trouble pronouncing it. The closest I can get to it is charis. It means to be given grace and given favor. So we've been given these things. I am in Christ. I have favor with God. That's a blessing that we have. We need God's favor. It means He takes care of His people. All right, the first blessing, we are chosen. Second blessing, we are adopted. Third blessing, we are favored by God. Now the last one I'll deal with today, it says, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption. What is redemption? It means that we were bought back. We had to be purchased. In verse number 7, you've got the release and then you've got the riches. And I'll show you all of them in this verse. Redemption means that I have been bought back. A price had to be paid. Paul is saying that Jesus Christ paid that price to get us out of the debt of sin. Look at the text. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. There's the price. The price is blood. Church, the price is blood. What got us out of sin was blood. Somebody had to pay that price. Who was it? It was Christ. Christ shed His blood. Our redemption is based on the fact that Jesus shed His blood. I'm come to tell you today that redemption is His on Christ. The Son of God was the Lamb. The Lamb paid the price. Price was blood for our salvation. That was the price. When we all understand how blessed we are, church, you got to understand, when you understand how blessed we are, nobody should have to beg you to do some work around the church. With all these blessings, nobody should have to beg you to attend worship service. Not with all these blessings. Nobody should have to beg a sister or a brother to take part on a project. Not with all these blessings. It should be like Isaiah. What did Isaiah say? Here am I, Lord, send me. With all of these blessings, the last thing in the world we ought to be is unfaithful. So if you're here today and you want to know how blessed you are, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. There's not one spiritual blessing outside of Christ. Not one. Nobody is spiritually blessed outside of Christ. I don't care how much money you have. Don't care how big the house is. Don't care how nice the car is. Don't care what you're wearing. It doesn't make any difference. Nothing wrong with those things. But I'm suggesting that there's no guarantee that you are spiritually blessed. I'm going to do the reverse of that side. It's okay. I can be the poorest person. And just because life has dealt me a bad hand and I've got troubles all in my life, that doesn't mean I'm going to get some extra points with God. You see, that's the reverse side. You know, Because there can be some very, very poor people and still end up in hell. No, unconsciously, I may have been making you think that there's something wrong with rich people. Nothing wrong with rich people. Wish we had a few more scattered out here. Praise God. I am suggesting rich or poor, and that does not determine whether you are spiritually blessed. The only way in is to be a member of the body of Christ. You must accept Christ to be spiritually blessed. And you do that through the plan of salvation. That's where you hear the gospel, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept Him in baptism. That's how you get into the body. That's how you receive those spiritual blessings. And so today, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson glow. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face, and there, my Lord, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, and me there, my voice you'll see now, cares and on home and vast heaven to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, darkening be thy light, but I cling more close to Him. He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex the soul, turn my thoughts aside. But my Lord goes ahead, leaves whate'er behind. Him will sing, oh, I want to seek Him, look upon His face, and there, my Lord, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me live my voice, and you'll sing now, cares and I'm home and back, ever to rejoice. When before me knelt a bride from the mighty King, there my Lord I rest my heart, He the saving King. And He leads me standing on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, and all I love Him so. There sing, Lord, I want to see Him upon His face. And there, my Lord, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's a path, oh, that has ever to restore. It will sing, oh, I want to see Him look upon His face. And there, my Lord,
there to
sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. You see now,
cares
and I'm home. Ever to rejoice.